Welcome to episode 75 of The Bull Run, the official podcast for snooker professional Stuart Bingham. This content is sponsored by renovation specialists R&J Carpentry and Construction, and it's a show in which I, sports journalist James Colasanti, ask the man nicknamed Bull Run about recent results, life on tour and life in general. Good morning, mate. How are you today?
All good. Nice and peace and quiet in my house. The family's on holiday in Turkey and I've been grafting on the practice table, so it's been really peaceful.
Mate, you're so good at these master shots. You're like, how to be a modern man. Every time I talk to you, you've come up with some angle or something where you pack them off and you've done it. Good work, mate. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, obviously plenty to chat about today, but before we get into all the snooker stuff, I've got to ask you about this new action figure. We just had a brief chat off air about it. As I was planning out the show notes, I came across a tweet from your management company, TWS Sports Management. It's featuring an image of you as one of these kind of collectible figurines, is how I would describe it. For anyone who's not seen it, it's a small model version of Stuart, of course, along with three what I would describe as accessories. There's a West Ham United FC shirt, what I presume is the World Championship trophy, and there's a set of golf clubs there. You know, it looks brilliant, very amusing, and guaranteed to make your followers smile. And I'll try and use the image as part of our podcast cover so everyone can see it. Also, action figures of your stablemates, Kyron Wilson and Liam Heathcote. Right, now listen, I think the saying goes, you know you've made it when you've got your own action figure.
Yeah.
So what do you think of yours? How did it come about? How much are they? And where can people buy them?
I'm about it much in the dark as you. I see it late last night. Obviously, I've just sort of retweeted it. And yeah, obviously, I put a little comment saying, obviously, that needs to be changed because I'm a bit Slim Jim these days.
Is that right? They haven't done you any favours now.
No.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd see it, I think, like a couple of days ago. I think one of the pool players had one, and I went, oh, that's a good idea. And then next thing I know, last night, obviously Taylor's posted it up, and then from there I've seen I think a UFC fighter's got one, boxer's got one, and so they're obviously a new thing out at the moment, so obviously it's good that Taylor's obviously jumped on it, and we'll obviously be getting it out there.
Yeah, any idea how this goes down? We're talking like available on Amazon, eBay, you know, how does it work directly from him? I guess people just have to hunt around. I'm sure Taylor will be keen to let people know where they can get them. But do you know at this stage if anybody wants to get one, how they get hold of
them? I haven't got a clue. I'm sure Taylor would be putting it up on his website.
Yeah.
Obviously, as soon as I know, I'll post a bit more on it. But yeah, at the moment, yeah, not got a clue.
You're showing Shell, yeah? What does she think?
I'm not sure. Obviously, she's only got a little bit of Wi-Fi in the obviously on holiday.
She hasn't commented on the tweet or anything. No,
not yet. No,
she'll want her own one, won't she? Presumably.
Known Shell, yeah.
Brilliant. Listen, if you haven't seen it, go and take a look. They're not hard to find. Right. Well, you know, obviously it's that time of year again. It's 9 days out from the start of this year's World Championship, and that will, of course, be our main focus today. But before we move on to it, let's circle back to the Players' Championship to conclude our kind of pre-Crucible season action. As discussed on the last episode, you went into it aiming for a vastly improved showing against Neil Robertson after a whitewash loss to him in the World Grand Prix final. And you made the perfect start in this one, his 87 break, and then you kind of stayed in control of it to lead 4-2. The seventh frame proved crucial as you missed a pink to the middle. It allowed Neil to reduce arrears to 4-3. He got the required snooker in the 8th, cleared up, draw level at 4-4, and then went on to complete his comeback with the last two frames. Crucially, it meant you missed out on a spot the Tour Championship in Manchester. So, I mean, look, on the positive side to hear, much better showing from you against him, and a match you certainly could have won. But how did you feel afterwards, and how do you feel about it now?
Yeah, it was one of those matches. Obviously, losing to Neil, 10-0 in, obviously, Hong Kong hurt, but I felt like the match in Telford hurt even more because I had a chance. I should have won that match. So I played well to go 3-1. Obviously, had a chance for a maximum. Missed. Obviously, tried to double the last red to get on the black and missed it to go 3-1. I missed a black off the spot in the balls. So I had a chance to go 4-1 but went 3-2. Played a good frame to go 4-2. And then you say I've missed a pink to the middle, and then that goes sort of 4-3, and then obviously he needed a snooker, but I've missed the last red when quite like it should have been like 99 times out of 100 shot.
Right.
Missed it in the middle, and then he ended up getting a snooker, and yeah, obviously the rest is history. So yeah, that might have probably hurt even more.
Right.
Sort of, I knew going into it, obviously got confidence from getting to the final in Hong Kong. So it sort of like maybe probably showed in my game, and but to sort of come out of that losing, it's yeah hurt. And but it was nice to obviously play in a tournament like that, that stature, to get back and be involved in it. enjoyed the match, just obviously gutted with the result, but obviously like you say, got a few days now practice, and looking forward to the World Championship.
One.
I'm going to stitch in, regular listeners will know we do a Carla's ever so clever question in the show. I'm going to bring it up front on this one so we can talk about the Worlds on the back end. And it's quite a fitting one this month, given the new action figure, but I can assure you she came up with it before I saw it online this morning. So yeah, over breakfast this morning, she asked me to ask you, have you got any lucky mascots you keep with you on tour, or any... or any superstitions or rituals you do ahead of matches?
Not anymore. I never had any sort of lucky mascots. I used to have, in the early days, I used to have like, I'd done an exhibition with Jimmy, or Jimmy done an exhibition. I was played him as a kid. I had he gave me his bar towel and a file,
right,
for the tip, and I used to keep that in the case. When I was younger, but as in superstition, I used to, whatever colour shirt I'd play in, I'd have the same boxer shorts colour.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
White shirt, white boxers, black, yeah. And so. But that's gone out the window these days.
Right. Okay.
I've tried everything, and nothing's working. So.
Yeah. I think that's often how it goes with things like that, rituals and superstitions. Yeah. I mean, unless they're 100%, you think, well, you're not working for me anymore.
Exactly,
yeah. I was going to ask my follow-up question to that was, do you, and I'm sure this is true, but do you know of any other players on the tour with lucky mascots, superstitions, something quirky they do? Anything you can actually sort of tell us, you know?
I know Neil, obviously, we had the same, got the same tailors, Harrison Z.
Yeah.
Neil's one, he's obviously quite a plain Jane, where I don't mind, obviously, whatever colour he does, Nahid does, that I wear. So, Neil, he sort of does well one year in a certain suit, and that's it, it keeps that same thing. And
right.
I think he's asked Nahid Harris, Harrison Z, to kit him out in a new suit. So, he's gone back to the same tailors to try and get the same good vibes sort of going into maybe probably next season.
Other than that,
I don't know if people's got shoes. I think Kyron's got some like Gucci shoes or something that he's wore for a couple of years, and
yeah,
obviously might sort of be comfortable and might be his good charm. I don't know.
Please check the volume of our earpieces. One of them are very loud. Thank you.
Finally, we'll finish up with a look ahead to the big one. You will bid to qualify for this year's World Championship when you face either Oliver Lines or Michael Holt in sessions this Sunday, so it's April 13th, and the following day. If you progress, you will face China's world number 46, Fan Zhengyi, or the qualifier he chooses to meet, and that match will take place on Wednesday. Now, obviously, all this action will take place before the main event of the Crucible gets underway in 9 days' time. So how are you feeling about the coming week? Also, you know, how are you feeling about the guys you may have to play? And I guess your overall chances ahead of another crack at snooker's biggest prize this year?
Yeah, no, last few days have been good. I got my table reclothed on Saturday by Steve Hall. He put a lot of effort in to get my table, and it's the best it's ever been playing, really. Yeah. So the preparation, I've had a good couple of matches with sort of Matt Selt, Sean O'Sullivan, Zach Surety, obviously last week, Martin O'Donnell and Kyron. So yeah, preparation's been good. Like I say, the table's been playing absolutely beautiful. So I should be going into the sort of match with like either Holty or Ollie Lyons to sort of not really get used to the. It won't take me long to get used to the table. So yeah, been playing pretty well against them guys in practice. So looking forward to it. Like I say, obviously Holty, we go back years.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be a tough game. But I just got if I can, I know if I can play like I can, then it should be good. But yeah, it's on the day. Like I say, I've had a sort of bad couple of years. I've had the odd good tournament here and there. So not taking anything for granted. So just got to turn up and see what happens on the day. But like you say, you can put the good preparation in and hopefully it turns up on the day. But yeah, it'd be obviously nice. The last, obviously, two times I've qualified for the Crucible, I've got to the semis of both.
Yeah.
So I'll take that now. Obviously, going into this year's Worlds, I'll take another semis. Yeah. Like I say, I feel like my game's there. Obviously, a few sort of hiccups in the queue action of late, but maybe probably a bit of anxiety trying to play. But like you say, you just got to turn up on the day and see how things go.
Yeah, I mean, you said you've had a couple of good results in recent years, and obviously we're talking 12 months ago here. You know, do you get a feeling in your waters that you know it? I kind of it feels the same. I can go into it, or is it just you know difficult to predict or? Yeah, I guess, you know, frame of mind, you know, how you feel. You sound, you know, you sound relaxed, you sound like practice is going well. Is that kind of how it is at the moment?
Yeah, like you say, I've been around the block many, many times. Coming up to, obviously, my 30th season on tour. So, I've put pressure on myself. It's maybe probably been, like you say, nice that I've had the ass to myself. No one's all getting on my nerves.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just it's bit chilled out. I think what happened in Hong Kong helped.
Yeah.
Sort of like say so I went to Thailand before, didn't practice much, so I'm off for a game of golf today.
Right.
Just chilled out and sort of looking forward to the tournament turn up and see how it goes. But yeah, normally I'd put all my eggs in one basket and try and do things, try too hard mo probably. So sort of like at the moment I'm just sort of obviously Hong Kong saved me for this season. It'd be nice to finish, every player wants to finish their season off at the Crucible. So obviously that's the goal, obviously, like every year.
Yeah, you mentioned your relationship with Michael then, sort of knowing him well. I just wondered when it's like that, and I know a lot of snooker players are close to each other and there's friendships, what are the kind of rules of engagement ahead of, like, you know, potentially playing each other? Do you sort of message each other, wind each other up? Do you leave each other alone? Or, you know, does it vary from player to player? How does that go down ahead of these kind of matches?
Yeah, normally, you sort of message, I suppose, like, people up until the draw. As soon as the draw comes out and you've got each other, then obviously, like, the messages stop.
It's game time sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah. And you turn up, obviously, you wish them all the best. And, yeah. Like you say, it's obviously they're trying to beat you as much as you're trying to beat them, so everyone's got families to feed and so it's sort of it's friendship out the window for that match, and obviously the loser will find it hard for a couple of days, but as soon as sort of the match is over, like I say, a few days later, it's all gone and it's history and simple as that, really.
Yeah. And just finally, if it's not to be your year, I'm just wanting to pick your brains on things like potential wild cards, maybe people to look out for, or and then another, you know, outright favourites for you. Just, you know, who should everyone be keeping an eye on this year in the tournament, do you think?
Obviously, Zhao Xingtong's back on. Obviously, he's won the Q Tour by an absolute mile.
Yeah.
So he's obviously got a sort of a wild card pick into the qualifier. I think he won his first match 10-2 or 10-3, making like loads of obviously big breaks. So I think he'll be one to come through the draw on sort of that. But yeah, he's gone obviously fine hard, but he's obviously a top eight player in the world. And like I say, I'm not sure if I agree with him being in the tournament. Obviously, he got banned obviously a couple of years ago, and he's been invited back. But There's a bit of politics to it all.
Yeah, sure.
So not sure if he should be playing or not. Like I say, you've had maybe probably three or four people that have been playing well most of the season. I think it'll be a really good World Championship this year. You obviously Judd's the number one. Obviously, he's going to stay number one no matter what after the tournament. You've got Kyron, obviously the crucible curse. Will it strike again? But he's been unbelievable all season. You've had obviously John Higgins come into a bit of form lately. He's won two tournaments sort of back end of this obviously season. Neil obviously getting back to form. Sean Murphy. Obviously I think Ding's got a shout this year. Mark Selby, he's got to another final. He's always there and thereabouts. And then obviously you got Ronnie coming back, hopefully, for the fans and for the players. See, not sure what's happening with obviously Ronnie, but obviously I was meant to practice with him this week and he had to cancel at the last minute. So for Eurosport. So yeah, I think it'll be an unbelievable World Championship this year. It's so hard to predict.
Do you know, just on Higgins, you reminded me, I did the piece with him the other day, it was about Luke Little at the moment, he was obviously talking about the darts. Tyson with you, I hear you're taking up the tour, actually, I forgot about that one, the darts tour, April the 1st, obviously, for anyone who missed it. but yeah, I mentioned Higgins, he was saying about Luke Little, and he was saying about that effect, you know, and obviously the Sky money going in, and now a £1 million jackpot on their world for the winner. I'm sure you'd echo his sentiments. You wouldn't mind. All of you wouldn't mind seeing that in the snooker as well, yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think I was playing someone the other day, and he mentioned that the darts are more or less going up. I think it's like 40% this season or next season or something like that. Obviously, the World Championship's been the same for the last 7 years or so. It's obviously like, obviously, when you've got maybe probably someone like Luke Little in the game. They get obviously more publicity and more sponsors and things like that. They say obviously our game's growing, but the world's has stayed obviously it's still 500 grand. Not sort of kicking the teeth, but it's you got other sports improving all the time. And obviously, like I say, with our main tournament, it's stayed where it is for the last 7 years. So I don't know, something needs to be done. Like I say, obviously, if it's taking it to Saudi. It'll be a sad day for the sport if it does, but they're talking maybe probably like $1 million or $2 million to the winner. Maybe just to keep up with other sports improving, sort of thing.
Interesting stuff, loads of moving parts. Well, listen, we are all going to buckle in and hide behind the sofa or man up and actually watch you at the Crucible this year. Give us an easy ride, won't you, please, mate? just smash them all, that'll do. but listen, as always, it only remains me to say thank you very much for your time today, and of course, wish you the best of luck for an exciting week ahead.
Thanks, James. Thanks a lot.